Late at night, I would listen to the voices of the American masters. Tony Tennille, Debbie Bourne, Anne Murray, who was actually a Canadian, working in the American idiom. And then there were the crypto, homo, rockers, Lou Reed, Iggy Pop, David Bowie, who was actually an idiom, working in America and Canada. These artists, they left as deep an impression on me as that oven rack did on my face. To be a young American in muskrat love, soft as an easy chair, not even the chair. I am, I said, have I never been mellow? And the colored girls sing.
Hi and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damien.
Damn it, Damien! This is Talib Kweli.
Oh. I didn't see it.
And we are bad. The Black Star.
My bad.
I mean, come on.
I apologize.
Come on!
So you pointed at me, I was like, I don't know where Douglas is going with this. But I should have seen it. I blame the curry. The curry has me off my game.
That's entirely the curry's fault.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Note to self, never buy curry again.
No more curry.
Always buy fried chicken.
Yeah. Yep. Racist and accurate.
Damien seems to like it.
Just born.
And moving right along. Far away, far, far away.
Andrew, that's
I can
racist.
Say that I'm black. Also, you've already moved far, far away.
This week, we are here to talk about a woman losing her mind. We are here to talk about a film by the name of Her Smell. The latest film by Alex Ross Perry, the guy who gave us films such as Listen Up, Philip and The Color Wheel, comes back with Elizabeth Moss for this story of a punk rock lead who has come to the point in her life where she decided to have a mental breakdown, and we track her over the period of... I don't think we actually know like the time period of the film, but what I was really thinking was that it's around four or five scenes that this film is actually set through.
Yeah, they try to date themselves. I followed that it was at least 5 years, but it probably is
because the girl grows up a little bit.
Yeah. No, they actually say, "Can you believe it's 4 years since?" Mm-hmm. Like they do that kind of stuff. Sure. Try to hint at it. But they're not like 100%. And also, if you count the I call them swipes. The back in the day videos in the middle of all of the scenes, then it's probably another say 7 years on top of that. So depends on how you want to look at it. Somewhere between like 5 and say 15 years.
I look ill, but I don't care about it.
Becky something. She's a woman.
She's a user.
Her mother. She's a deadbeat. A person. A persona. I think I
Alex Ross Perry is a director who, let's say, I've had issues with.
I think we've all had issues with him.
I've liked some movies. Things, I've not liked other things. But what I can say for him is now he's 2 for 2 as it relates to his I'm going to call him collaborations with him and Elizabeth Moss.
Collabos!
Right? Mm-hmm. Douglas, yeah. If there's one thing you know, I adore Elizabeth Moss.
Yes, right? You do. Which is why I don't know why you put down 3 choices and expected me to think that you wanted to choose anything other than this movie.
It was me talking myself out of it. I was like, can I? They'll hate me, won't they? Like, maybe I should pick something else so that I don't have to, like, fight all the time.
Oh, yes, we will. And we'll also talk about that very soon. So, Andrew, have your fun.
But yes, her smell. Elizabeth Moss is a fantastic actress. Like, the thing about this movie, and I felt it so much with the other film they did together, The Queen of Earth. Elizabeth?
Queen of Earth.
Queen of Earth. It's Queen of Elizabeth, because it's Elizabeth Moss.
And, movie. And do we not count the other one with Schwartzman just because she was supporting?
She was supporting in there, and I kind of read it as their first interactions to then spin off into like full collaborations. Mm. That's the way I'm deciding to read it.
What was the name of that one again?
That was Listen Up, Philip. We did watch and talk about, and I don't think we liked.
No, I don't think any. I think even you had to admit, Andrew, that yeah. ARP was probably about as good as his namesake, the Jamaican boy band.
Okay. But this film. And I don't know how much of it I want to put on Alex Ross Perry. I don't know how much I want to put on the story. I think all of it for me is on Elizabeth Moss, where it's just watching her just go full tilt awesome as an actress and just pulling out all these scenes. It is a very simple film in the fact that they have these 5 scenes that just play out as almost chapters of this woman's life, of her change from when she was in the band and high as fuck and drunk all the time and just going wild, and you just see her descent progressively go down further and further to eventually where the film ends off, where she's now a calmer person and trying to make things work for her, where isn't necessarily a big musician anymore, and all this shit going on in her life. But it's, for me, it's just about her. It's about how she pulls off this incredible character, where I feel this is like Daniel Day-Lewis-esque, right? Where people talk about him and his acting, where they're like, I don't see him anymore. I don't see Elizabeth Moss anymore when I watch this movie, and I loved it for that. I think Ross Perry does a good job in the sense that he did well to structure it the way he did, because anyone else could have done this film and decided to do it in a conventional manner with the story kind of playing close and the scenes being closed off by other things in between them and giving us all that information, as opposed to having these long drawn sequences for Elizabeth Moss to just, as Damien will put it, flex for us. I just love the way that she interacts, and you can see her character just going deeper and deeper down into this hole. Some of it is ridiculous stuff, like, for example, whatever voodoo man she has following her all over the place, where you're just like, oh, this is just shorthand for punk rock ridiculousness. Like, they could have made this be a scene from Almost Famous with my man Billy Crudup on the roof screaming, I'm a golden god. But they just decided to do it with a voodoo doctor, like, and it does its job, especially running around following her and just having him just pepper everybody with ridiculousness throughout the scene. To the next section where she's in the studio and you see her, let's say, trying to corrupt some new punk band, new, like, I wouldn't even call them punk. They're definitely not punk. Like, more of a boppy rock band. Like, you could actually see the upsetness on her face when she got them to play a song for her, which had me in stitches. Because she spends all of this scene, like, trying to maneuver everybody into her space, and then she's like, all right, come on, play me a song, let's see what you guys sound like. And you see her just being upset, and I don't know if it was that she was upset just hearing non-punk music, or if she was upset like hearing people actually play together and be happy to play together, as opposed to what she was experiencing at the time with her band pretty much falling apart in every single way. But this movie is an acting spectacle, and I adore it for that. And I don't know anyone who could look me in the face. Luckily, these two fools on the other side aren't looking in my face, so they can lie to me and tell me that I'm wrong in that regard. So, Damien, have at it.
I'm about to disappoint you. Everything Andrew said is correct. The movie, the overall story is pretty straightforward. This lady's garbage, and her garbage ways leads to the downfall of her band. And it is not until she hits rock bottom that she decides, I'm going to fix my life. It's a typical rock star behind me. If you are old enough to have VH1 and saw any Behind the Musics, this is basically a cut and paste. But like Birds of Passage, this movie gives you 5 scenes. And they jump the parts, they skip the parts, and they assume you have enough common sense to work out what happened between these points. And so you see her, the first scene of the movie, it's her getting her deal. And they're like, oh, we're on the cover of Spin magazine. And she's losing her shit. Everyone's happy. And then it cuts directly to them playing a smaller venue and her getting the news that their European tour has been canceled. And she, of course, being trash, reacts how you... Like, she's really an awful person. And so she pushes the band members away. She pushes her manager. You see that she's having a lot of problem with her husband, doesn't care about her child, has a shaman called Yaima, which is... It is frustrating to watch someone do that and like, I wanted to see the directing notes for
that. He took it very seriously. Very
seriously. And I was just like, the fact that anyone here is able to keep a straight face in his presence is wonderful. But Elizabeth Moss, she kills it. Like, the movie without her performance wouldn't be that good a movie, because it is a story that is told. This is basically the only stories that come out of music. This is people who are divas that ruin everyone's lives and have to fall on their face in order to. But the thing I appreciate is that through the course, so it is her dealing with the band and hearing that they're not touring in Europe, her dealing with this new group of singers that she hates. Then there's a scene where she loses everything and is singing with her daughter. And then the final scene is her given the opportunity to sing again with the band. But throughout all of that, throughout her lowest points, she's still the worst person. Like, she admits that there's problems with her and how she went about things, But you can hear in the final speech that she gives about the promoter and the other people, she's glad to be back on stage, but she isn't repentant for all of the things she did. Because she's still a, mean, awful person. But the performance is so good. I enjoyed a lot of the fake songs. They're pretty good. Like this movie, the act, not the acting, her acting is enough to pull the movie from something that would have just been mediocre to be something that is a good movie. And so I really did. I hope this is a trend going forward where movies understand that I have enough sense to go from point to point. We talk about it a lot.
I think you have to find those movies, Damien. I think if we keep going to just watching John Wick, those movies don't trust us.
But John Wick is one type of movie. But there's a lot of movies that could use this structure. I remember the Jobs movie, where that is what they did. They just went, here are five scenes, and you work out the whatever happened in the middle. That wasn't... Because Steve Jobs is a real person, there's a lot of people that took umbrage with some of the things. And they're like, that wouldn't have happened then. But those people are idiots. Still a movie. They're trying to tell a story. Just relax. But too many movies fall into that trap where they're just like, listen, we have to walk you through, or we have to put in big block letters. And then they went here. Like, none of that shit is necessary. Just give me, just treat me like I have enough sense to work out what happened between there and there. Especially when it's in a genre that people have made that type of movie 800 trillion times. Just, it's unnecessary. But
quick question, Damien. Yes. Queen of Earth, where do you sit?
Oh, it is a bad movie.
Oh, I hate you.
I liked her in the
movie. I know, I shouldn't have asked.
I liked her and the other lady. Oh my God, what's her name? And sister. I love her. Oh my.
Catherine Waterston.
Yes, Catherine Waterston. I love me some Catherine Waterston. The two leads, absolutely. That story, no. No, thank you. Even though they're mean and mean-spirited, like it should fall in my wheelhouse, but the movie just wasn't good. I like the characters. Just
thought I'd check in.
Yeah, just not the movie. When I saw you pick this movie, I was, let's say, not pleased. And in fact, after the first scene in this movie, I thought this was going to be just your run-of-the-mill, climb to the top and then climb. Like, I thought that is what this movie was going to be. Especially when I saw them putting in flashbacks and shit, I was like, boy, this movie, and saw the runtime, I was like, this is not going to go well. But they focus on the person with the hall of the talent and made a good movie out of it. I really did enjoy my time with this movie. I enjoyed this movie and Elizabeth Moss. I mean, if you've seen The Handmaid's Tale, you are aware of this. But if you haven't, this movie, I assume anyone that is watching this falls into two camps. Movie nerds and Handmaid's Tales nerds. No.
I've never seen Handmaid's Tale.
What? You should watch
it. You should watch it.
I'm only halfway through, so I started with it and watched the whole first season when it came out. As soon as the second season started, I started with it. And for some reason, I stopped like episode 9 and I haven't been back. And there is legit 3 seasons already out with a fourth season about to start. Mm-hmm. I need to start watching that again.
It's really good.
That show is great.
It's no Expanse.
All right, Damien, well done. Well done. Yeah. Boy, I'm Damien White.
Yes, sir.
Andrew Robinson. I'm disappointed in us today.
Yes.
Because we have found a way to make this movie tumper proof. My God. This movie is pretty good.
It's real good.
So
I tricked y'all.
This is mock-ups.
This movie.
Wild card, bitches.
Just the sheer spectacle of Elizabeth Moss's performance. It deserves all the praise and accolades that it can get. All right. If I had one nitpick to say about this movie, is I believe it was too long. Right? And too long in the sense that I didn't need the redemption.
Yes.
Right? I could have lived with the end of scene 3 where she gets carried out in handcuffs, mm-hmm. and that being the end of the movie. And I feel like that would have been a better ending for me, for people like me, people like Damien, who just embrace the darkness.
It's like, this she's garbage.
Exactly. This is why we love shows like Mindhunter.
And this is... Oh.
Which I still haven't finished, but I cannot wait. Jesus. So good. This is why we watch the things that we watch. This is why Lars is on our speed dial.
Yes.
Right? But with that said, even those, the tail end, the two scenes at the end there, I wouldn't say added value, but the acting again. So everything about this movie is coordinated to highlight how good an actress, how good an actor Elizabeth Moss is. And how crazy she becomes. And not crazy in the sense of, oh, she's crazy. Mm-hmm. Crazy is just how large she becomes. She fills up the screen. And you don't care. You almost don't care about anybody else. Right? It's been a couple minutes and I still haven't made a joke about Wolf from Glow being in this movie. Right?
What are you talking about?
None of us have mentioned that David from Legion is in this movie. Right?
Yes.
We haven't mentioned Eric Stoltz and the fact that he got fired from Back to the Future. We haven't mentioned anything dumb because this movie,
her performance
is amazing.
It's preventing Amzos. I changed my mind. This movie sucks.
And the story, or rather the events that are allowed to unfold, right? And the situations she gets into, the animosities that she has with her closest family, her closest friends, with just random new people who are excited to meet her, it's so good. And they're able to portray an image, a character of somebody who is so aggressive, so combative, so just in your face, and yet somehow draws you in, right? Not just as a viewer, but the people in the movie. So if you watch the third scene. It's the second scene where she meets the new band. And she is horrible to them. She is horrible to everybody there. Yet, by the end of that scene, and it's shown, it's evidenced even more in the third scene, they essentially become her backing band. She's able to bring them into that. The implication also is that they became, in the third scene, they became big, but they're still
connected to her.
Not just connected, but allowing her, like, mm-hmm. bowing to all of her whims, right? And how you can do that and how you portray that on screen is... Mm-hmm. She's magnificent in this movie.
Cash rules everything around me.
Oh my God. And all of the bickering on. Okay, so let's start from the beginning, right? I have to tell you, first of all, I dislike Alex Ross Perry movies. To be fair, I've only watched two
Two, and you like 50% of those
two. To be more accurate, I've only watched one and a half.
Two is a big sample.
Yeah. I straight up fucking despise Up Philip or whatever the name of that movie is. I wonder if I could potentially like Queen of Earth, but I was not able to finish that movie.
I could and see you liking it.
I've decided that the fact that I couldn't finish it means I don't like it. Mm-hmm. Right?
That's not a hard metric.
Good enough.
Good enough. Especially for this guy. Fuck this guy. But I started off this movie knowing I wasn't going to like it. Just knowing.
Mm-hmm.
Then it started off with this soundtrack, right? And I'm not talking about what Damon calls the fake songs. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the actual soundtrack. It is one of those soundtracks that telecasts how you're supposed to be feeling, right? And I'm talking about after the first, I don't consider it the first scene. I consider it the intro. So after they get their deal and then you see them about to perform and they perform and they come off and they're in the back and just madness ensues, right? During the madness, there is this soundtrack which is clearly designed, not necessarily because it's good at it, but because it is like everything else that is supposed to make you feel tension. And it does because of that, right? But once I heard that, once you hear that, I was like, oh, it's that kind of movie. Mm-hmm. It's just going to be, you know, telecasting rubbish and broad. And look at Elizabeth Martha and how broad she's getting and how large she's getting. But then there's something about it. It's just you then bow down to the grace, the elegance, the skill.
The
goodnosity of all of this. All of the people involved. I didn't want to say this because I'm not a huge fan, though I appreciate it, of the last two scenes. But I think this movie is excellent. It's probably a top 10 movie. No, I'd never watch it again. But...
So you can't confirm these facts here.
Cannot confirm or deny.
Exactly. But no, this movie is spectacular. And fuck you, Andrew, for making me like an ARP movie.
I tricked you!
Listen, I didn't watch this
movie. I made you think it was your choice.
I changed my mind. I didn't actually watch this movie.
You just watched three episodes of Handmaid's Tale, right?
Yeah, I went, I like Liz Moss. She related to Elizabeth Olsen? Is that how that works?
you just watch Eric Cantona speak you and you're like, that made sense somewhere.
You remember after Marcy, whatever, we're like, dear Lord, please give Liz Olsen every opportunity to be great.
Mm-hmm.
I know she's stuck in Disney bullshit for the rest of her life.
Yeah, because I don't think she ever got that opportunity again.
Shit.
And I'm actually concerned.
No, she's so rich, she'll never waste her time doing
I'm
small movies
she,
about it.
She actually isn't as good as we thought she was.
No, I've watched that movie again. That is not an accident. You can't lock your way into being that good at acting. You may never be asked to be that good again. But I just need proof once to know. Listen, most movies are broad, shitty movies that don't require much of the actors. So, you know, but... we fucked up. We gave them Elizabeth Olsen, and we're never going to see her again.
Especially now that she's got her own TV show.
Yeah, she's in sitcoms.
Yep.
I like how this Disney Plus thing is like there's people. It isn't out, and there's people already
complaining going crazy
about shit.
Yeah.
Like, what is happening?
And I think Disney's going about it wrong because I haven't been reading the details, but I've been reading the headlines. Unless it is that they've had this event and spoken about content for the next 10 years, I think they're doing it wrong. Too much at once.
They kind of have.
Right?
They've talked about a lot of the content.
Yes, they have.
And a lot of the stuff to go on with that service.
I mean, You said that.
It looks like an attractive service for what it is, but...
What? I mean, come on, Andrew. Are you pretending like you're not going to buy the service? Because I'm... The second it comes out,
I'm
going to buy it.
Am I not going to watch Werner Herzog Star Wars? Of course I am.
My fear with the service is that if Disney is like full on determined to make this what it looks like they're good, like I don't watch the Disney Channel, no, because I'm an adult,
correct,
and I already watch all the movies. And I've already stopped watching all of the TV shows. And so if this service is just a way to placate lunatics in between the movies coming out, I already have the movies. And my fear is that the Plus Sports part won't live up to its billing. And what I will be left with is shitty Disney programming,
yeah,
which I am
sports,
not interested in.
I mean, so far, ESPN Plus, which is a Plus Sports part, is really just off-brand football for me, right? Mm-hmm. It's the Community Shield, it's the FA Cup, and right. I think, no, not the Europa League, that's TNT. There's another one of those tin cups that they have.
Right.
That's about it, because everything else, if you have cable, you can get it on ESPN, I believe.
Or,
but you never know. These guys have a lot of money.
Yeah,
they could end up trying to get like the Premier League from NBC or Champions League from TNT in 3 years.
That is the hope. I hope that Disney is just like, now that we have sports streaming and we're giving up on this cable thing, carrying us through.
I could see them trying to fuck people with basketball.
Right. No, so that's what I'm saying. If they decide that, listen, cable subscriptions are falling anyway, and we're motherfucking Disney. So let us double down. Let us spend on ESPN like we used to, because once we get everyone that watches TV or owns a phone to have our service, we will get billions of dollars in every month.
Oh, of course.
And so they're just like, listen, ESPN is back. We want to be the worldwide leader in sports again. And we are Disney.
Yeah.
That is the hope. But
I feel like for me, it's already worth it because I already have ESPN Plus and Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
And
so now you have one subscription that eats those
exactly.
two.
Exactly. But I'm sure there's a package.
Shows on Disney Plus.
I don't care about that. And and also, it will make it easier. Like, if I can actually pay for the package through, say, a Google Play or even with my credit card, that would be so good because right now, I mean, the amount of bandulu shit I'm doing to get a Hulu subscription.
You should move.
Damien, I'm paying at least a good 40% more than I should for Hulu.
Doesn't Andrew have a card?
Hulu not available in Canada.
Oh, shit.
No, it's not. Which is actually something I'm curious to find out about. Like Disney says, like Canada will be there, but with this extra packaging, I'm assuming that's not going to be available to me.
They have said publicly that they want to make Hulu international, so maybe it's in the works.
Maybe.
My sister lives there.
I've been hearing nothing but Disney bashing for the last week.
Yeah.
Between the Spider-Man story, between the Disney Plus stories, and the thing that I've been hearing, and this is more of like a Canada thing, because one of the rep theaters here, the Review Cinema, they play a lot of old movies, and something that everyone had been worrying about ever since the Fox-Disney deal happened is actually starting to happen, which is that Disney now is no longer allowing people to book Fox films.
Okay.
So, no more Alien screenings.
Yes. Oh, no.
No more Phantom of the Paradise.
Mm-hmm.
No more anything from Fox.
Oh, my God.
And people
How would you watch those movies if you wanted to? If only there are a way for someone to get
Damien. Stop being a dick for a moment.
I'm joking. Calm down.
I'm not
Andrew,
joking. That's fucking first world problems.
Andrew. still there.
but the thing about it, Douglas, is first world problems, right? Yeah. But Disney has used that methodology of their film distribution for every platform.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there'll be weeks where you're like, I can't watch Aladdin because Disney doesn't want me to this week.
Again, only right? there are we.
Actually, with Disney, right. sometimes there isn't. But
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, because Disney, remember, they have that vault bullshit, which is the worst.
Yeah.
And so I agree in the sense that, yes, it's annoying, but also it's not something that we really need to care about too much. Also, if you buy it when it comes out, then,
say you
know.
Say you don't buy it. If only there was a way for the internet to give you access without that, to things.
So, Condor Man, right?
I... demand 4K Condor Man on day one of Disney Plus, or I will not subscribe.
Please. Disney Plus, listen. No. First of all, I really want it. Well, I can't stream 4K because whatever, but I'll get it from you. Don't worry, Disney. Mm-hmm. The internet has ways. But
oh, no, the internet has ways. Okay.
But if you make it physical, I will pay all damn near money. Whatever you all want me monies. To pay. To get a 4K Condor Man. Mm-hmm. I bought a Condor Man DVD for, I think it was maybe $60. Was that too much money, mm-hmm. right?
Entirely too much money.
That I am about 75% sure is bootleg.
Mm-hmm.
That's how much I love that movie.
Raptor Man.
Oh. But yeah, Disney... Let's do some good things. But also back to the fight over things in theaters. That, I mean, it's similar to the Apple argument, right? So Damon and I hate Apple.
A lot.
Not because they don't make good devices, because they actually tend to make top-notch devices.
Yes.
But
their ways.
Their ways. Yes.
Their dirty ways.
If only they would let us do what we want, the way that Android does.
Right.
But they don't. Mm-hmm. So you know what our solution is? We don't buy Apple devices.
Pretty much.
So similar. If you're upset that
Disney Plus is bullshit. Disney,
you don't like Disney Plus, don't get Disney Plus.
Hey.
If you're upset that you can't watch Fox movies 20 years after they came out in the theater,
movie theater,
buy the fucking DVD. Yeah. Thank you, and good night.
I remind myself
that you
just be quiet.
Yeah. Never talk to these people. Listen, Andrew, I want to feel sad that you can't watch your old movies in a theater. I really do.
Yeah,
I just don't.
The thing is, also you have to remember, Andrew, it's all cultural context. Mm-hmm. Damien and I have never watched a movie older than say 6 months.
No, that's. Incorrect.
In a movie theater.
We have. It just came out.
No, that's why I use 6 months as opposed to 6 weeks. What?
What was the movie that we saw alone?
Oh, The Master.
Right. Wasn't that like 8 months out?
Could not be that
like,
long.
Didn't the Blu-ray exist?
I know, and we went there. If the Blu-ray existed, you and I would have been watching it at home.
Oh my God. Oh Lord.
But yeah, so Andrew, we aren't the best person to talk about this particular one.
Look, I really didn't want to talk about it from the perspective of, oh, I'm sad, I can't watch a thing. Yeah. I'm just talking about it from the perspective of this company seems to be really working hard at crippling all sorts of things related to its product.
Yeah, but they're doing it to funnel you into buying it from them. Like, that's all Disney wants. Not for you to have some way to watch their things outside of how they want it. Like, when it comes time for them to monetize, that's how the vault came up in the first place. It was just a tactic to get people to buy shit when they took it out of the vault. It wasn't because they really didn't want people to see these. No. They're just like, once we take... When they're like, and... Snow White finally out of the Disney vault, there'd be a spike in purchases because people are like, I don't know when these cartoon lunatics are going to show this again. But I'm fairly certain they won't be able to get away with that in streaming, because what people would do is immediately stop subscribing, and that is not what they want. They want to get you to pay for their shit, even if you never, like, that is what Netflix did. All of the shit that is on Netflix, it is not, people, I keep having to tell people that, all of the things on Netflix is not for them. They put on a truckload of shit so that if you find one thing, you'll keep your subscription. All of the other bullshit, if you find one thing and you're like, all right, because of this, I keep in Netflix. That is all they want. If you find other things, congratulations, but Netflix don't care. If you buy Netflix and never watch anything, Netflix is fine. You'll probably be saving their money on, like, streaming. Pay Amazon less money for servers and shit. But
I will say I'm excited for Disney Plus.
What we
I'd like to watch it.
What I'm terrified about Disney is that they got the Jungle Book right.
Yeah.
And they've gotten Aladdin wrong. They've got
Aladdin came up on Google. I'm thinking of watching it. Should I not?
It's not even worth it as a joke. That's how bad.
Wow. You can't even watch and laugh at how bad it is. Oh no. Oh no.
You think, like, the uproar about Will Smith being blue? He's not blue most of that movie. So it's not like there's, it doesn't make you, it didn't make me, let me not say, cause you haven't seen it. Didn't make me as upset as The Lion King, as that Godzilla movie, which I've told, Andrew, I told you not to watch that movie, right? Have you seen that movie?
I saw it long before.
Yeah. You guys have both
spoken. I told you not to watch that movie. Right, so that's but you went and you watched it anyways. Yeah.
Jesus Christ. It's bad.
Yep. Just like how I told you not to watch the Lion King movie and you went and watched
the
it.
The Lion King wasn't my fault. Aladdin was.
Alright, so here
Aladdin was my fault.
Seeing as you guys are just watching movies that each of you are telling yourselves not to watch, go watch Lady and the Tramp. Apparently there's a new one of that.
I saw the trailer, yeah.
That's one I never liked from the get-go, but then
it
you know
fine.
I don't remember that
much. I don't remember that much either. I just remember thinking in my head, and this is as a child, because as a young boy you always separate movies into one of two categories:
boy movies and girl
boy movies or girl movies.
That was one of the girl ones.
That's a girl movie. As is Beauty
and
the
Mermaid.
The Little Mermaid.
The
Beast, yeah.
Soon enough, we'll just become the Disney podcast.
We'll have Mulan.
We'll take over.
We'll have Mulan.
We'll take over that corner of the internet that Masterpiece podcast did, and we'll just become the new Disney podcast.
It's going to be difficult because there's so much sports.
But Disney owns sports.
Yeah, but there's no Disney logo on it. sports. What else did I watch? I watched Sicario again.
Yep.
Because there's people over. And there's people who haven't seen Sicario. I don't get it. Who are these people? What kind of lives do you live? Where somehow... Sicario is what? 5-6 years old? Something like that? 5-6 years old? How did that slide by? I don't get it. I also watched... I watched Kingsman... And I watched Baby Driver.
The first one?
Yeah, the first Kingsman and Baby Driver. And I did it so that I was showing some relative that it was the same movie. Because they'd seen Baby Driver and wanted to see it again. But they hadn't seen Kingsman. And I said, the same person did this. It's the same. And they're like, yeah, it's basically the same movie.
I suppose. Yeah. It's not the same person that did that movie, those movies. But,
no, it's not.
It could be considered to be quite similar in structure. Sure. I mean, one
is the same type of comedy.
Yeah, but not just comedy, but just think about it, right? You have a youngster coming into some group.
Right, some and world-ish.
And then essentially blowing up that world. And it's not exactly right. It's not, you can't compare it the same way you can compare, say, Fast and the Furious with Waves. what's the name of that movie again?
Point Break.
Thank you.
I am, just so everyone knows, I will never think about Point Break and not call it Waves. I'm going to go home, I'm going to get that movie and put it in the W section. It's Waves.
So those movies are carbon copies, but I can accede that that the movies The Kingsman and Baby Driver have akin spirits.
Yeah. They're the same.
Fair enough. But yes, obviously Baby Driver is better and more artistically
it's
awesome.
It's more stylish.
Yes.
But he gets to play around with music. And so that also helps. The Kingsman doesn't have that. It's just...
I think I had more fun with Baby Driver. Especially Kingsman. Kingsman doesn't exactly age as well as Baby Driver too.
Are you sure?
Kingsman has the problem that Hangover has. In that they have sequels that make me believe the first one was bad at this point.
Yeah, I can see that. But the first one is still surprising. Like, it's not surprising. I like the first one, and I've seen it. I saw it yesterday.
You going to watch a third one?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm thinking of watching the third one.
The third one looks like it might be good.
And Vaughn is still directing, so why not?
Outside of sports, what else did I see this week? There's some... Oh, no, I can't talk about that. I think I might be picking it for the podcast.
Okay.
There's one more movie that I need to finish watching.
Yeah.
And so this week, I'll definitely be able to pick a movie.
Just whisper it to me, dude.
No. It's not... I doubt it's something you've seen.
Okay. So I want to talk about a few things.
Because I'm here filling in the spreadsheet for you.
Ah, there we go. But yeah, since Damon is finished, I want to talk about a few things. And... let's start with the communal thing first. We all watched Dave Chappelle's latest Netflix stand-up. Andrew, you loved this stand-up, didn't you?
No, not really.
No? What?
It, like sincerely, the first half an hour, I think there was one joke in the beginning where it started out weird and he brought it back. And I'm like... all right, you got me there. But the first half an hour, I just was like, not funny.
I get you.
I mean, he definitely got to stuff later on that I found funny, but like...
okay.
And it's weird. Dave Chappelle,
Okay, so you actually like it a lot more than you let on your Letterboxd. Because when you...
This is Dave Chappelle here. I expect... excellent.
So when I saw your comments on the Letterboxd, I said, oh boy. And I pressed play. And it started off pretty good. And so I was like, oh, I'm going to be able to make fun of Andrew here because this is awesome. I don't know what's wrong with him. And then the middle part of that stand-up came where it dipped. I still think he ended stronger, but I agree. It's average. It's all right.
Dave Chappelle is better than this.
Yes, he is.
This is a bad special. It is not bad by some other comic specials, but it says Dave Chappelle on the marquee, so I don't want to hear it. It's bad.
It's so unfortunate.
It is bad.
I'm excited to talk about
things. And we get in a couple weeks to then all complain about Bill Burr's new special.
That's true. And I'm sure we will.
Bill Burr can't do a bad special.
He did a bad special.
We said that about Dave Chappelle, didn't we?
No, I have forced myself to like that special. My special is not good. The last one?
I think Douglas may have had a stroke. Let me look. No, it wasn't. See what that last one was.
It wasn't that good. But, so, I have something exciting I really want to talk about, but let's get through some stuff before.
No, I just want the excitement.
Nope.
I don't want the whatever stuff in between.
Nope. Because you have clearly read my Letterboxd and know what that is. So let us talk about a couple of TV shows.
Boo!
I don't know which special you're talking about.
He had
Walk
a Netflix.
Your Way Out,
he had one? A Netflix special, maybe it was that one. That's 2017.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You are wrong.
It was all right.
Go away.
Anyway, I watched a couple TV shows. I finished watching This Way Up, which is a British comedy. Mm-hmm. And the reason I watched it, of course, is I like catastrophe. Catastrophe is great. And Sharon Horgan is the greatest. And she is in this show. She did not write this show, but she is in the show in a big way. As is, I think her name is, oh my God, it's something, I can't remember. But the lead in this show writes the show as well. It is a very sad yet comedic show. Fairly similar to Catastrophe. I want to recommend this to you, Damian, because I really enjoyed it, but I'm worried that you will not.
Because the last time you said something yeah. was like Catastrophe, it was bad.
Exactly.
Douglas said, Damian, watch Divorce.
And I
said,
love no that first doubt. Season.
And then it was bad.
But yeah, pretty good. Then Hulu picked up, wait, Douglas likes British, Douglas likes Sharon Horgan. Has he seen Dead Boss? And I said, oh yes, I remember when that came out. I remember thinking it wasn't that great. But I noticed that the lead was Sharon Horgan, and I clearly at the time did not know who that was. So I said, all right, let me try it again. The show's dumb.
Is it good?
It is good in the way that, all right, so Sharon Horgan actually wrote this one.
Okay.
But it's not, it doesn't feel like television. The way that television is now. Catastrophe is television. Mm-hmm. This is TV. Right? It reminds me of, it's the type of comedy that you would get from, say, Black Books. Right?
Okay.
But not, it's not as funny as Black Books. Yeah, I'm no, not putting nothing it in is, there.
Not,
right?
Listen, I'm not going to hold that against you. Nothing is as funny as Black Books.
But it is outlandish.
It's not telling one overall story. It's just episodes of nonsense.
It is one overall story, but it is nonsense as well. So essentially, and I realize I didn't tell the story of the other one, but who cares? Watch it. This is essentially Sharon Horgan gets framed for killing her boss, hence the name Dead Boss. Mm-hmm. She goes to prison and meets
as
a lot
well
of...
she should.
As well she should. Meets a lot of crazy prison people. And I haven't finished it, so I don't know what happens if she gets out. But, you know, there's always the subplot of I'm trying to get out. There is a subplot of I'm trying not to be somebody's bitch.
Yes.
There's a subplot of this is the top dog. By the way, the top dog in this prison, her nickname is Top Dog.
I like it.
All right. This show's dumb.
Yeah.
It
sounds dumb.
And, you
it
know.
It sounds enjoyable, though.
They look like they're all wearing masks. It's
real stupid.
It's real stupid. I kind of like the show.
Speaking of shows that are dumb.
Yeah.
I haven't brought up these two shows.
Okay.
But I've seen enough episodes now where I'm fairly certain that I like it.
And by the way, both of these shows are very short. I think one is maybe 9 episodes. The Dead Boss is 6 episodes. So... Okay. It's like a quick breeze through.
HBO has a Black Lady sketch show.
Is it good?
I like it.
Okay, do you like...
Mm-hmm. You are wrong.
Oh, wait. Wait a second. Andrew doesn't like this.
Listen.
Ooh, boy.
Do you like
the Issa Rae show, the other one? What's it called again, Andrew? Insecure? Insecure?
No, I didn't like that one, no.
But you like this one?
I like this one, yeah.
All right, Damian.
All right. All right, Douglas. Let me pitch you
already sold me enough. Yeah, because not only you do not like the show I don't like with these people in it.
Yes.
You like this show and Andrew does not like this show. You don't need to sell me anymore. I'm going to adore this show. I'm going to watch it now.
The only
reason I didn't watch it is because it was a lot of those guys. And I was like, boy, I don't want to watch second show.
There's a skit where a girl breaks up with a gentleman. He's packing and leaving.
Yeah.
And she's like, listen. You don't understand. You can't leave because bad things happen when you leave. And the guy's like ignoring her. And then you see smoke and then Patti LaBelle shows up.
What?
And starts singing on my own. And she's just like, listen, Patti, this is not the time. I can't deal with this shit. And Patti LaBelle is straight up ignoring her. and singing. But the guy can also see Patti LaBelle. Yeah. And so she's singing and then like giving like advice in between singing the song. And at some point she's like, you know what? Fuck this guy. And the guy's like taking selfies with Patti LaBelle. And then she starts singing the song with Patti LaBelle. And the guy's just like trying to chat up Patti LaBelle is just not having it. I was just like, all right. I enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's not like I could see this one day rip. If they continue with some bits, I can see this being at least as good as the Key and Peele. Like it's not there yet. There's a few bangers, but it's not consistent.
So what you're saying is this is more like season 3 Key and Peele.
Yeah, it's okay. Not consistent yet, yeah. But I can see certain, if they continue down the road with certain things,
mm-hmm.
It will be really enjoyable.
All right, cool.
The next one is from Comedy Central.
Really?
And it is called Southside.
Okay.
It is a show about, it is about black people on the South Side, but what if they quadruple down on every single stereotype? It is basically a prolonged Chappelle Show skit where there's like, these guys are, what do they call it? They reclaim things from like rent, like if you rent shit, these are the guys that go and reclaim them, but they're bad
Lurel,
at their job.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Don't look at the cast will betray what the show is. I also saw him and went, oh shit, this is going to be bad. Douglas, they, not often do people make a show where after one episode, you're like, this is my kind of stupid. It is the dumb parts of Atlanta. You know, the episodes of Atlanta that are just played for laughs, like they're not even pretending that they're making anything serious. It is that, but just all the time.
Fair enough.
And I've seen three episodes of each,
mm-hmm.
and I enjoy all three episodes.
Fair enough.
So, yes, those are the two. They're not so good that I'd definitely come here and be like, guys, you guys have to watch this. But I haven't.
No, it's all right. You have now officially recommended and will take the full brunt of.
Yeah, man. Insecure any dislikes is not that good.
it's
not a good show.
Oh my
show.
God, it's not good.
There's a couple times
I
where they make
I liking
jokes.
It in the first season. And the first season, I remember I didn't really like the first two episodes or so.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got into
through.
It after yeah. that. But then something about the second season broke me.
There's no jokes.
No, it's not good. Mm-mm.
And there's a time where she's like, where she asks her friend to teach her hoeing. And you're just like, all right, if this show was more of this, just more broad, shitty jokes, then yeah, but it's not. I'm not a fan of Insecure.
Hey, guys, I have a secret to
yes.
tell you. I don't like that show anymore.
Oh, no!
I think I'm just trapped in it. It's taken me against me.
Well,
I can't get out.
Should find a way. I'm going to make a joke about a teacup and get out, but it's not a good joke. I'm better than that. Anyways, sorry to cut you off, Douglas. What
Anyways,
else are you watching?
So, those were the two TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
Now we can get back to excitement. And it's a communal excitement because you guys have, on separate occasions, spoken about this film.
Yes.
Damien, I fucking watched Brightburn.
Mm-hmm.
Excitement!
Yes!
Douglas, please crush our dreams
yes.
now.
Oh, Damien, I love this movie
oh,
so
it's
much.
So good! So good! Oh! Douglas, I watched that and then watch The Boys? What's my mind?
That's perfect.
This is the best week I've had in a long time.
So I had actually started watching because they released that scene in the restaurant where the waitress gets her eye poked out.
Yes.
They had released that early and I started watching it and I stopped halfway because I was like, I don't know why, but I know you saw it and thought, this is the greatest thing ever.
Right.
I saw it and thought,
This is just
what I expect from a crappy horror movie. Should I be excited? I still was excited because I said, you know what? Let me hope that context makes it better. And oh boy, does it. Oh boy, does it. This movie is spectacular.
Oh my God.
I am just so upset that I am sure it has not made any money and it's not going to get a sequel. I need like 10 of these bitches. I want more.
Douglas. Our hopes for a sequel isn't for money for this movie specifically. Our hopes is that James Gunn does enough good work with Suicide Squad that they tell him, all right, you can go and make another one of those if you come
back.
Well,
he didn't direct this movie. He produced it. So I love this movie so much that immediately, while the credits were running, I searched Brightburn sequel and found the news that James Gunn has essentially said, yeah, it's not happening for now, if at all. Because you could already see that the budget on this movie was tiny.
Yeah.
It didn't make a lot of money. But he essentially said, boy, I'm busy between I have the DC movie and then I have the Marvel movie. And then maybe after that, I'll come back to this. So we have to hope sometime in like 2025 that we get a part two. But guys.
He-Man, Richard Linklater.
Listen, if I never get a sequel to this, it's fine.
I will watch this on repeat. I am going to buy this immediately.
I have The Boys and I have this.
Yeah.
So I am okay.
Douglas,
this movie has been out for 2 months, something like that.
Yeah, but it only just became rentable, and I wasn't going
to. No, I'm just saying. I've seen this movie maybe 5 times. Fucking every single time, I was like, at every turn where they could have made this movie bad, someone said, "What if we didn't make it bad though?" Like. The ending of this movie, when you saw her with the piece of the ship behind her back, you're just like, don't do this to me, movie.
I know. I thought I said, boy,
don't
make it like that. Don't make the good guy win.
Don't you dare. You're better than this movie. You're better than this.
And they were.
They most definitely were. And like Andrew came in talking a big game and I was just like, Andrew, don't do this because if you get this wrong, I'm going to kill you. And he wasn't wrong.
I remain alive.
That movie is so good. I forgot that I watched the Godzilla movie around the same time. That's a good movie. I just didn't. Or maybe I mentioned it. Like, good boy. That movie is great.
The girl says, my mom told me not to talk to you. Mm-hmm. And his response is, don't worry, I'll sort that out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh. When the father took him in the woods.
Listen, you know what I love about that scene is that you could argue that maybe he wouldn't have been bad if he hadn't simply said, yeah, son, sometimes you just have to give in to your urges.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, really? Mm-hmm. And the father's like, yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's like, okay.
All right.
And he just moves up from there.
In the middle of it, it turns into a horror movie with the teacher and the flashing lights outside our house. And you're just like...
Teacher who, by the way, is his aunt.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, this guy just doesn't give a fuck.
He is a monster.
Yes.
And they're like, what if, you know, Superman's parents didn't want him to do good? What if they sent him here to murder everyone.
Mm-hmm.
As it turns out, he would murder everyone. And it is... It's a joy to see something and hope for something and have it just 100% hit the mark. Where at the end of that movie, I had zero complaints.
Yep.
The only thing, again, nitpicking,
mm-hmm. it obviously didn't have a budget for CG. So those things were a little hokey.
Right. Some things were cloak and dagger.
Come on.
But
this movie's great.
Yeah. Listen, all the last three Aliens movies has had all of the money. I've been complete shit. And this had none of the money and fucking fantastic. God, I love that. Oh, Jesus. Andrew, have you seen The Boys?
I have not yet.
Why? I don't understand. What's happening?
I haven't.
But me and Douglas told you to. Don't get it.
Speaking of what you haven't watched, Andrew, what have you watched?
Yes.
There's only one thing I'm going to talk about.
Future movies.
This is not future.
Yeah, have you watched future movies yet? Has TIFF started for you?
Nope, it starts next Friday. Okay.
Boo.
Just because, you know, I follow all of those Canadian people and some of them are talking about it already, mm-hmm. but I know that it's probably the press section, right?
Yes, the press people doing their early work, doing their homework. The only thing I've seen this week to really talk about, I watched Wall Street for the very first time, the 80s movie.
Oh,
okay. Wall Street. Oh. I actually had never seen it before. I'd seen the sequel when that shit came mm-hmm. out, whatever year it was. Mm-hmm. Never watched the first one. I went and I saw this at a theater and I thought it was hilarious that the guy who presented it had done a video because apparently... And spoilers for people who've never seen Wall Street or Wall Street 2 mm-hmm. for one sentence in the movie. In Wall Street 2, they mention that Gordon Gekko's son, who you only see for like one scene in Wall Street, mm-hmm. died of like a drug overdose.
Right.
And the guy did an in memoriam video cutting from Wall Street with that one
that's
scene.
Pretty good.
And like putting like the year Wall Street 2 right. came out question mark as like the end.
That's pretty good.
And also they've dug up this really old clip. Mm-hmm. Like this must have been in some dumb marketing ad where they had Martin Sheen from Hot Shots.
Yes.
And they had, sorry, when my
you
bad.
Mean, you mean
Charlie Sheen from Hot Shots. Charlie Sheen from Hot Shots and Martin Sheen from the Apocalypse Now.
Oh, wow.
And they had them on the boats, like writing letters to each other. And then the boats came up to each other and they both stood up and looked at each other and screamed, "I loved you in Wall Street." And I had a good laugh. Like, I don't know where this guy found these
That's
videos, but
good.
Oh, he's doing the work. But yeah, Wall Street. Mm. I enjoyed this movie for how awful it is.
All right, fair enough. Because it is awful.
Charlie Sheen is quite possibly one of the worst actors to ever exist.
Hey. Behave.
Wait, hold on. Who is here defending Charlie Sheen?
Listen.
Raise your hand,
please. I grew up watching Hot Shots.
I grew up watching Hot Shots Part 2.
You can't count parody movies. Those don't count.
Actually, I haven't watched that in so... I need to watch that movie again.
Don't need real actors in those.
Yes.
Those movies are so dumb.
Oh, they're so good.
Oh my gosh.
The kill count.
the
bullets.
Didn't they... So I don't remember a lot, but... Jesus. Didn't they like have to climb over a knee-high hedge?
Yes.
Yep. And then there was farting in the recon underwater, like when there were scuba there. Oh,
all right. Let me write
so
that
dumb
right now.
So dumb.
Douglas, look if that movie is available for purchase on Blu-ray, please.
Charlie Sheen is the worst actor.
Yes.
To ever exist. He's so fucking bad, but. It's hilarious to watch a movie like this with Charlie Sheen in it because it feels almost as if Oliver Stone just knew how awful he was and just said, "You're the best," and just let him have at it.
Yep.
Anyways, it's so funny to watch a movie, especially seeing this after The Wolf of Wall Street has come out, to be like, this is probably the best version of Wolf of Wall Street before we got Wolf of Wall Street, because Michael Douglas is hamming it up in every moment he can. Daryl Hannah is so ridiculous as her interior designer, whatever drug lord she is or something. I don't know. This movie is insane, and it gets extra points because it has fucking Hal Holbrook in it, who I love. And more to the point, John C. Mr. Dr. Cox McGinley in this movie, playing Dr. Cox long before he got Dr. Cox in Scrubs. Because everything about his character... everything about this character is just Dr. Cox. He's just chewing scenery every time you see him. And I died a little inside when later in the movie Charlie Sheen is like moving up in the world, and you see him like scream at Dr. Cox, and Dr. Cox just kind of like curls inside himself and like goes away without shouting back at him, right? Because that's not who Dr. Cox is. Dr. Cox doesn't take insults. He gives them out in the best ways. But yeah, I enjoyed this movie. It was fun. I'd never seen it before, but now I have. And, you know, Wall Street, the 80s were good for cocaine.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of this movie.
I don't know if you know.
I think there's something to it when you watch movies, and I think we've mentioned this before, where you already kind of think they're trash. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just kind of, you're looking for the gems in the garbage.
You're in it for the, right, you know what the movie is. So you go in with an expectation, and you want to see just how closely your vision of this garbage will actually be. And like, it's been said a million times, I don't know if you guys heard, that this movie is why Wall Street Brokers started behaving how they are depicted in this movie. Like, it wasn't a thing.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Just like The Godfather did it to gangsters.
They were just like, wait, we could do that?
Right.
Oh,
because I like Wall Street people were boring as shit. They had to make this big bombastic show of it. Similarly with organized crime. Before The Godfather came out, people used to just inform on everybody. And then they put that movie out, and that movie directly caused